So I invite you to 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 this morning. And if you're not yet a part of a life group, if you're not in a life group, but you'd like to try one out, I want to encourage you to give us a shout this week. If you'd like to try one out, approximately every other Sunday night at 5 p.m., we have some openings in a slot right there. And so if you would like to try out a life group, we invite you to give us a shout this week. And this will be a Zoom life group that'll be meeting coming up throughout the winter and early spring. And we invite you, if you're not in a life group and would like to try out a Zoom group, it'll be an opportunity to discuss the portions of God's word that we're in together each week as a congregation. And so I invite you to let us know that this week. What might motivate a grandmother and a mom and a dad? What might motivate a grandmother and a mom and a dad to pool their resources and pay off a young couple's car? That happened for Nance and me. It was our first year of marriage, and we had this used new car that we had bought and we owed on monthly, and my grandmother and my mom and dad, all of them living on fixed incomes, put their resources together and contacted us and said, your car's paid off. Wow. That was huge. We were at a spot just starting out, and many of you know what that's like when you're just starting out. We were at the spot where that just stunned us, that just floored us, and our finances as a young couple, and our future finances, honestly, were incredibly impacted by that amazing, amazing action on my grandmother and my mom and dad's part. Stunning. What would motivate? What would motivate somebody to do that? Take a listen to 1 John 4, the spot I invited you to. 1 John 4, starting with verse 7. Listen in, or look on your copy. It says, dear friends, which in older translations says something like, beloved, let us love one another. Now notice the call, the invitation, the wrapping us into command. Let us love one another. Why? For love comes from God. Love comes from God. Notice the source, the source, the spark, the motivation, the starting point, the launching pad. Love comes from God. So, beloved ones, dear friends, let us love. There we are. We're wrapped into it. We're pulled into this love. And why and how? Through the love of God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Now, John, in this passage, he's doing something that he's doing all throughout this letter of 1 John. He's providing evidence for one's belonging in the family of God, evidence of one being in Christ, evidence of one knowing that very, very deep and personal relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being in the family of God because of the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this great, great love of God provides this assurance and this evidence and this validation and this depth of experiential knowledge, this overflow that builds into our lives this confidence, this assurance that you belong in the great, great love of God, in the great family of God, in the incredible relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we get in on it together, and we get to live out that love. God is love. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. Notice it. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love, John says, Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, there it is again, beloved ones, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He says it again right there, love one another. And then he qualifies it again. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. His love grows in us. His love comes to full bloom, full expression. How? Through us. Well, catch that. Let that inspire your heart, what God can do in your life, in good life in 2021. Let that inspire your heart. His love can come to full bloom, full expression in and through you. The world all around you can get to see God in living color in amazing ways. Why? Because of your love tangibly expressed toward others. Verse 13. This is how we know, here it is again, that assurance, that confidence. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his son to be the savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Do you catch the confidence that's being built? The courage that's being built? The assurance of the love of God and of your standing as a child of God and the fact that the love of God is in you and you have life in him? It's an amazing layering of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the triune God's work in bringing us salvation and bringing the world salvation. We have seen and testify. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges Jesus, Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. In these uncertain times, are you relying on that love? Is your trust anchored right there? Is your hope anchored right there in the all-out love of God? God is love, middle of verse 16. God is love. In case you hadn't caught it yet, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Oh, soak up that statement. Soak up that statement. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Notice John, the loved apostle, the disciple Jesus loved. He's known as that. You notice his dance back and forth of, we know, oh, but be alert. If you're not showing love, watch out. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love. Why? Because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Here it is. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Powerful words. Powerful call. When we consider it, I mean, just think on this summation right here. Just think on this summation, this squeeze of concept right here. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. All of this is motivated upon, driven by the passionate purpose of the love of God for you and for me and for people all around us. And we catch it here, how love grows. We see this overflow of love. We see that love is core, central in God's character. It's not flighty stuff. It's deep roots. Love allows others to see God on display. That's so exciting. People get to see God through your love expressed. Love supplies that evidence, that confidence, that assurance. Love continues to grow our love for God and others, motivated by his love for us. I mean, let that soak in afresh and anew. No matter what you've gone through this week, no matter what you've felt, no matter how many times you've slipped up, messed up, gotten it wrong, gotten it right, no matter what's gone on in your life this week, the love of God for you stands strong, stays consistent, is available for you. Meet you right there at your point of need. That love of God builds that confidence and motivates you to love others even more. And that love, this self-sacrificing, this agape love then spills over into practical expression toward others. And so we anticipate that love. We anticipate that love and we participate in that love. We get to participate in his sentness. We are sent. We are showing God's love to others. And as we show that love, it helps others see Jesus. Helps others see Jesus. We're called to express Jesus-like love. You're called to express Jesus-like love. I'm called to express Jesus-like love. So across these early weeks of 21, we're looking at our vision and values together as a church. And we're recognizing it's all about Jesus. What St. John said there about in this world, we are like Jesus. So it's all about Jesus. And we're passionate as a church. We're passionate about Jesus' life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love and work. We get to live out of that overflow of life in him. As we come to him, as we more and more make him our king, as we submit to him, as we receive his sweet forgiveness, as we live new life in him, as we seek to lean into life in him and put our feet on the path of following him, as we do that, he changes us and transforms us. And his life, love, and work flows through our lives, love and work. But your posture, mine, your repentance, turning away from your old way of life and your sins and the old way into that newness of life in him, that kind of turn is essential. That kind of humility is essential. It's essential we do that, that we turn toward him, toward his love. And so at Manor Church, we passionately value loving God and loving others, which is what we're talking about this morning, and sharing his good news and doing good. It's such a joy to have both Dan Sigmund and Christy Hunt, exceptional staff members on the leadership team here at Manor, on our staff, and I'm going to invite them to come. They're going to come up. We're going to chat for a couple minutes with them. Dan gives leadership in our worship arts area as worship arts pastor, as well as care, and he's going to talk some with us about that. And Christy within our Bridges ministry, our ministry to families and individuals affected by disabilities. And so will you just join me in thanking them for all they do? Thank you both. Thank you so much. Would you both just share, Dan, what's been something in your own life, something good in recent weeks? Just something that's been like good life to you.
Good life. Over the holidays, we had a really good life, especially with our family, visiting them, be able to relax, especially with our grandkids who are 4 and 7, watched some movies, played a lot of the card game Uno. It seems like they always won most of the time, at least. You know? So that was a lot of fun for us recently.
Very, very cool. How about you, Christy? What's been something good?
It was good for us to spend time with our children and grandchildren at Christmas. After 3 months in the NICU, our grandson Isaiah was home, and that was a huge gift.
That's a big praise.
Gift.
Yeah. That's a big praise. Yeah, really, really good. So I'm interested in everybody getting to hear what you're dreaming about that can be good. Christy, what could be good momentum for us as a whole congregation? Just kind of big picture, what are you dreaming about in terms of fresh vision in the areas where you're leading and serving?
Ultimately, friendship is one of the best ways for us to build bridges of connection and support for families affected by disability. And when so much has been put on hold in our lives, cultivating relationship is still possible if we're creative and caring enough to try and do that. And I think ultimately that's going to build really good fruit in our ministry area.
That's really good, really good. That's so helpful to hear you share that as an aim, that relationship and the love, that love of God expressed in those relationships being at the core of what we're about. What might be a couple of specific goals that you have in mind for us this year that can help, maybe even things that we can all enter in on that can help that love get expressed?
I'll do things as a leader. I'll keep leading our Zoom activities, and we're planning another drive-through event. We've had some in the late spring and in the fall, and those have been really successful ways for us to engage with people when we can't be together in typical ways. So we're planning a Valentine drive-through event coming up in February, and one of the ways that you can be involved in that, there's Valentine kits out in the lobby. You can take one home and make some Valentines, or if you're not feeling creative, you can buy some, and you can return them to the church by February 7th. If you're not here this morning, those kits are going to be out there all week, and people can stop in the church during the day and pick up a kit. Bring them back, and then we are going to fill 50 to 60 bags with Valentines for our friends who are adults affected by disability.
Okay, so that sounds pretty ambitious, and so we need a lot of hands on deck on that.
Yeah. About 400 Valentines.
About 400 Valentines, that's awesome. Very, very cool. That's good. Christy has, in her area, been such an incredible example of leading the way and helping us think innovatively. Obviously, during these very, very different, uncertain times, things like drive-thrus, things like Zoom meetings, you have done an incredible job in that area. So thank you for giving us examples of how we can get involved. That's cool. Very cool. Dan, how about for you? What are you dreaming about? What are you envisioning for us in our care area?
I'm really thankful for all the people that participate on the care team. And there's lots of different ways that people can participate. Some of the ways are sending a card to somebody who's sick or maybe has lost a loved one, maybe making a meal for somebody who just got out of the hospital, maybe providing transportation for somebody who just needs to go to an appointment. And it was really cool last year to see a lot of families participate by doing some yard work for people. And it really helps draw us closer together and to be able to meet those needs.
Cool. So what might be some tangible goals that you have that we could possibly enter in on?
Yeah, so part of the dream and part of those goals is to have more people participate. Love to have another 6 to 10 people participate in the different areas. And you're never obligated to participate. I just send out the need, and then people send me a text back saying, hey, I'm able to jump in for that. I'd love to say maybe another 3 or 4 people occasionally visit people in the hospital or rehab when we can safely do that again. And I'd also like to see at least one person in the congregation at least once a month go and fill out the Blessing Endeavor form, which is on our website under the Give tab. And that's a way for us to know how we can meet either your need or another person's need financially. We'd love to be able to partner with you in trying to meet those needs for you.
Cool. Really cool. Both of you, thank you for all you do. I want to pray for both of you. Thank you for all that you do. And thanks, everybody. If you have other questions, feel free afterward to see either of them or give them a shout during the week. Shoot them an email. Give a call in here to the church. They'd love to hear from you if you have other questions or you'd like to jump in on one of these areas. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that your love can flow through us toward others. Thank you for Christy and Dan. I praise you so much for their amazing leadership, their innovation during these challenging times, and the ways that they inspire us to mobilize and express your love. I just ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to flow through all of us in greater ways in the face of what can be a fearful time. Help us meet those fears with your love. And I pray that you'll continue to fill up Dan and Christy with all that they need. I pray that you'll continue to protect them and strengthen them and inspire their hearts as they inspire us in light of your core love, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I pray that in all these areas of care, in all of these areas of expressing your love, that all of it will be to your glory, Father, to your glory, Jesus, to your glory, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you both. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. So these are some fantastic ways, truly some fantastic ways to express Jesus' love very tangibly. And as we're aiming for good life in 21, it's so vital that we not lose sight in the midst of activity, in the midst of taking action. It's so essential we not lose sight of the fact that it truly is all about Jesus. It truly is all about Jesus. We're called to express Jesus-like love. Jesus-like love. Again, we come to a spot like Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Matthew 22, 34 to 40, where Jesus is asked by the one member from the Pharisees, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, it's this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the commandments hang on these two. Incredible summation from Jesus. Why does Jesus call for such others-oriented expression? Why? Why does Jesus call for such others-oriented expression? Well, he knows our humanity. He knows our fallen and sinful nature. We just won't all on our own choose love. When not transformed by God's saving love left to ourselves, we do not choose love naturally. My wife, Nance, saw this in Living Color this week with a student in her class. One of the lessons this week was spotlighting the work of Martin Luther King Jr., and they got into this discussion about it among the students, and one of the students just honestly just raised his hand and said, I just don't get it. Why would anybody do that? And so the teacher in the classroom at that point went on to explain, and Nance was watching and listening and went on to explain a number of things and a number of reasons, and this poor little kid just shook his head and go, why would you choose to live that way? Why would you aim to serve others? Why would you? The kid was being honest. But Nance came home and we talked about it, and she said, whoa, If this isn't evidence of what goes on in the human heart, if this isn't evidence of what's going on within our culture at large. And the truth is, it's not just kids in a class at school. It's true for all of us, left to ourselves. Left to ourselves, we don't love with God's style love. I don't. Left to myself, on my own, I don't, you don't. As we saw last week, God's style love, agape love, is self-sacrificing love. For the good of the other person style love. Willing to move heaven and earth. Yes, in fact, God moved heaven to earth in Jesus' coming. In order to bless and redeem and forgive and renew and remake us. And so he sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We all experience love blockers. Love blockers. What makes loving others so difficult? Let's think about it for a moment. I pondered it this week. I invite you to ponder it, really. Love blockers. Let's get specific about your own love blockers. I thought about some of my own. I've seen these show up in my life. Busyness. When you let your schedule get utterly crowded, cluttered, what happens? Well, love gets blocked. Now, there can be some busyness that does indeed lead to expressions of love, but often we just kind of collect all kinds of stuff on our schedules and love gets blocked. Or I also thought of the cold chill of life circumstances. The cold chill of life circumstances. Sometimes the stressors of life and the pressures of life and all of the coldness of life sets in. And what happens? We get more icy instead of warmer. And we get colder toward others instead of more agile and refreshing. Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian pastor who was imprisoned and tortured under the communist regime. And he tells of how one day he was back in a cell with other people after he had been tortured. It was freezing cold, and he was hugging his only blanket for warmth. And then he saw another prisoner shivering with cold in the corner with no blanket. Richard hugged his own blanket more closely to himself until the thought came into his mind, if that were Christ over there, would you give him your blanket? If that were Christ over there, would you give him your blanket? Well, of course, the question answered itself, and he ended up giving the man his blanket. And later on in life, after he was freed, he wrote a book with that question in the title. All too often, instead of in the cold chill of life circumstances, letting it wake us up and letting it cause us to see the love of God even more, cause us to think on Christ even more, we just let our souls become even icier and colder toward others. It's a big love blocker. I also thought about over-familiarity. Over-familiarity with people and circumstances. You know, the old adage, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, all too often, we just get overly familiar with family members or friends or the job we have or any number of other circumstances. And what happens? We fail to love those in our path because we just start to take them for granted. And, you know, quite often, I had to own up to this one myself. I think we all have to. Just plain old self-centered priorities. Plain old self-centered priorities becomes a humongous love blocker. In the upper room, Jesus made a stunning comment, recorded by none other than John, the apostle of love. John 13 and verse 35, there in the upper room, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And don't miss the connection back to 1 John 4 and how what happens, the love of God goes on display when we love others. If we want to live good life in 21, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the world all around us, if we want to live good life that overflows and makes an impact, we'll go deeper and wider in this amazing self-sacrificing love of God. We're called to express Jesus-like love. We're called to express Jesus-like love. What should Jesus' call to love your neighbor really look like in everyday expression? Ken Boa says it this way in his book, Conformed to His Image. Boa says, "We have seen that we were created for an intimate relationship with the infinite and personal God who loves us." We talked about it in week one. We were created for this. Loving God completely is actually the key to loving self correctly. Don't miss that. Remember Jesus' own statement there in Matthew 22. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, you've got to know what's the right grounding for loving yourself. What's the right core for loving yourself? And Boa goes on and says, this in turn is the key to loving others compassionately as we grow in our understanding of God's unconditional love and acceptance of us in Christ. We are increasingly liberated from using people to meet our needs. Increasingly liberated to really, truly love with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit style of love. So digging in for truly good life, this week I challenge you to read again in Matthew's gospel, chapters 5 through 7, at least once this week. Those kingdom concepts, the kingdom core we shared last week, how he opens chapter 5, Jesus' teaching, by talking about the blessed life and what truly being blessed and living in that blessing really, really does look like. And then he goes on to expound what that blessed life looks like in all of our other relationships and challenges. It's stunning, so stunning to realize how much of Jesus' sermon reflects the Father's heart. It's stunning over and over again throughout Matthew 5 through 7 to see how often Jesus just reflects back on the Father, and this is what the Father says, and this is how the Father acts, and this is what the Father does. In the kingdom of heaven, the Father's kingdom, this kingdom of heaven, and very specifically, he goes after issues of how we relate to others. Issues. Issues. Yes. We've all got issues. I've got issues. You've got issues. Anybody here not have any issues? No, we are a people who traffic in issues, don't we? And Jesus gets after them. What kind of issues? Well, we see, and if you've been trekking already over the last couple weeks and reading in the Sermon on the Mount, you've seen it. He gets after anger issues. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have anger issues? We wrestle with anger. Unchecked. Unchecked. It runs contrary to love. Lust issues. Sexual lust issues. Here's a destructive vice that Jesus gets after. Why? Because it rips and ruins relationships, both with God our Father and with other people. Wrecks families, wrecks relationships, wrecks our holiness in Christ. Loving marriage issues. He dives in on this issue of divorce and the sacredness of sticking together in marriage, a pivotal place to live out God the Father's love. He gets after loving enemy issues. He says it's not enough to simply love the people who love you back, right? We're all good at that. We're all good at that, right? I can love you well if you love me back, right? Loving your enemies. Life is rife with friction and opposing perspectives and money issues. He goes after money issues. Again, such a big life arena, a big life issue. Love God or love money. Serve God or serve money. You can't have it both ways, Jesus says. Worry issues. Anxiety can rob us of focus and peace and anchored priorities that lead us into greater levels of love. Are you right now addressing your worry issues, your anxiety issues? Judgmental, judgy issues. Oh, we are all good at this. Too good. Too despicably good. At the core, arrogance can take root instead of Jesus-style love. And right now, the reality is, as we think about these issues and others that Jesus dives into in Matthew 5 through 7, we reflect. I want to challenge you this week to reflect on just two or three of them and consider. Consider such others-oriented issues and the reality that we all come up short. We all come up short in these issues. That's why we need Jesus. We all come up short in these issues. That's why we need Jesus. So ask him. Ask his forgiveness. Ask him. Ask him for his help. It's why he is out to remake you, restore you, renew you, revive you, change you from the inside out. Let what you see in Matthew 5 through 7, his call to blessing, his call to love with the Father's love, let it get reflected in an all-out dependency on Jesus for forgiveness and for renewal. Admit you need him. We're called to express Jesus-like love. So what should greater love for others look like in your own relational connections during 2021? What should others-oriented love really look like? I heard someone a while back talk about how to express it. I loved how they said it. We got to figure out how to get love out. We know it too well. We talked about it. There are those love blockers that keep it from getting expressed. How do we get love out? Well, here are four ideas. Four ways to get love out. Number one, write it. Write out love. Literally. I still have. I keep a collection in a desk drawer of love notes. Now I have the romantic love notes from my wife Nance from over the years. They're in a different spot in a box. But I have other notes that people have expressed to me. Love, not in a romantic way, but in a way that reinforces that there's appreciation, that there's enjoyment, and there's respect, and there's encouragement. I keep those. Why? Because there are all kinds of days when I need to read those again. When's the last time you wrote out love to someone? You wrote out appreciation. You wrote out encouragement. Write it. Write out love. Here's the second idea. Sweat in loving labor. Sweat in loving labor. I remember when two guys, I couldn't pay them a dime. I barely had the $18 to buy the part. They laid on a cold cement floor in the middle of February and worked for a whole bunch of hours to get at the spot underneath my old greasy, drippy car in order to get at where that new part needed to go in. I didn't have the money to pay them. Why did they do it? Just out of love. Out of God's style of love. Sweat out love. Sweat it out. Here's another idea. Give it intangible gifts. Give it intangible gifts. My office shelves have gifts. Somebody knows that in our family we've had an elephant collection over the years, and one time I came in and somebody had placed on the edge of the shelf in my office this. Isn't that a great elephant? He sits on the edge of the shelf like that. And one of my sons, knowing I'm a Tolkien fan, got me this year at Christmas time, Not All Who Wander Are Lost. And my shelves, my boys call it my museum wagon. It just holds all these little things that represent loving gifts given. Give love intangible gifts. And one more. Say it. Say it. When's the last time you actually told someone, I love you? I love you. I recall a friend of mine, first time he said it, my friend Richard. We had, for a number of years, been building a friendship together, and I remember we're on the phone, and we had this really great conversation, and he had challenged me on some things, and I had had the opportunity to encourage him back on some things. And before we hung up, he said, hey, John, I sincerely thank you. I love you. Now, you know, this is guy to guy, so he says to me, and I don't mean that weird. It meant so much. It means so much. When's the last time you said it? We're called to express Jesus-like love. See it one more time. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We're called to express his love. So what are you going to do this week? What are you going to do to get love out, to express it? It may be that you've got to stare into some of those issues that Jesus gets after in his Sermon on the Kingdom. Sermon on the Mount about the kingdom. Go after those. Let the Spirit of God work on those issues in your life. Go ahead. Lean in. Let him work in you on those things. It may mean that you've got to think about some of those love blockers. We talked about the icy chill over the over-busyness or the just taking other people for granted or just a plain old downright self-centeredness. Face into those. And when you face into those, realize Jesus will meet you right there. He'll meet you right there with his love, with his forgiveness. And then just ask him, say, I need help. Remake this in me. Change this up in me, Jesus. I want to be like you in this world, Jesus. And let him do that work in you this week. Aim to be a move heaven and earth kind of person. Some of us get hung up because we'd like to have move heaven and earth kind of people. Do you have two or three move heaven and earth kind of people in your life? Some of you are blessed that that's the case. Awesome. But don't worry about it if you don't. Seriously. Don't let that stop you from being to two or three other people in 2021 a move heaven and earth kind of person for them. Aim to be. Aim to be for someone else. A move heaven and earth kind of person. That will be such an expression of Jesus-like love. Let's stand together. The team's going to come back and lead us in a closing song. I want to pray for us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much, Lord Jesus, that you've blazed the trail and shown us the way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this incredible love. This amazing love, all-out love that you've shown for us. Best love of all, your agape love. Thank you. In these moments right now, Lord, continue to stir in each of us on these various issues that you get after in your Sermon on the Kingdom on the Mount. Stir in our hearts about these love blockers. And Lord, in those places, we cry out to you for forgiveness. We cry out to you for help and hope by your Spirit to be made new and to let you do your incredible work in us, Jesus. We resolve to get love out in 2021. Truly live the kind of good life you've called us to. Amen. Let's sing out together.